Our scripture reading today is from the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. So this is Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid, a youth, I was a lot like most kids, I think. I went through a phase when I did not want to obey. I didn't like rules. I didn't like people telling me to do things, and I pushed back, and it wasn't very pleasant. You can ask my mom and dad. They can verify this. There came a time, of course, when you grow up, and I found that there came a time for me when not only did I have to obey the rules, in my life, I had a time when I was required to enforce the rules. As a professional, I had to serve as a manager, as a supervisor, as a director, and I had people that were reporting to me, and I had to say, these are the rules. This is what we have to do. This is what you have to do, and we all have to comply with it. And almost without exception, people that I worked with understood that. And they said, yes, we understand what we have to do. We understand there are these rules. It was and is a mark of maturity on everyone's part that we know there are rules and that we follow them. There was a time in Christian history when people seemed to have forgotten that basic element of maturity. The church, or at least a section of it, said, we understand this, that the Bible teaches that we have been saved by grace and not by works. That it is all the victory of Christ and is nothing we have done, and therefore we cannot boast in our own salvation. We give glory to God. But, they said, you know what that means? That we will always be forgiven. And therefore, they said, let's do whatever we want. If we feel that there is a physical pleasure, even if by every measure it's immoral, let's just do it because we're going to be forgiven. If we have an opportunity to enrich ourselves by taking advantage of and defrauding someone else, if we don't get caught and we become rich, then go and do it. And if it's wrong, we'll be forgiven. That was an idea called antinomianism, a $50 theological term. It means they had no observation of the law. And it was, I think, I'm quite sure, a mark of theological immaturity. I really like what John Calvin said. Now, this is, I'm part of a Reformed church, and we do pay close attention to the teachings of John Calvin and the Reformed tradition. And he pointed out how the law works, the law in the Bible, the commands of God. The first thing it does is it teaches us that we are a broken people. It says, look, this is what we're doing. This is what the Bible says you should do. What we are doing is not what the Bible says, and therefore we know we are not doing the will of God, and we need to experience forgiveness. The law then, having recognized that, drives us to the cross, because the Bible also teaches us the only place to receive forgiveness is at the cross through the sacrifice of Jesus. And there truly we find that forgiveness. That's all true. Many, many Christian traditions would affirm that basic theological teaching. But so many, unfortunately, stop there. What John Calvin did is he had a great insight. He said there is a third use of the law. Not only does it show us our sin, not only does it drive us to the cross of Jesus, once we have received the grace of God and have been transformed, we can use that law as a guide to demonstrate gratitude to God. We want to please God? Then see what He wants people to be like. See how He wants them to behave. See what kind of values He asks that His people have. And we say, let us do that so that when God looks down on us, He sees a grateful, thankful, obedient people giving Him glory by their acts of obedience. And therefore, our behavior is a direct response to what God has given to us. What that means is that when it comes to, pick an example, our marriage vows, we are called as Christian people to be people of faithfulness, people who keep their word, who are indeed faithful to those that we have embraced as our spouse. It means something as business people, that we will be people of integrity in our business. It means something in how we treat people in our classrooms and on the playground, that we will honor and respect people, be kind and truthful to them. That is what it means to be a follower of Christ. Now, here in Romans chapter 13, it puts it in the context of a debt. It says, the only debt we have is the debt of love. What the Lord says to us is, your salvation is my gift to you. Your life is my gift to you. What I would like back, freely offered, is love. And we are called to be people of love. Here in this time of COVID-19, we are called to turn away from the darkness, to be the children of light. And we ask, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be that kind of people in this kind of situation? And it's our responsibility as members of society, where we can shine as the children of light in this society. The government has said, because the experts have done their research and have advised them, that we are to maintain social distance, that we are to not gather in big groups, that we should stay 6 feet away from each other, more and more that we should wear masks when we're going out. And the reason that we're doing that, and the reason that the government calls us to do that is the way to protect the vulnerable and the physically at risk. When I was wearing that mask, when I was talking with Sally, it wasn't so that I would be saved from getting the virus. It was so that if I have it, I would not transmit it to another. We wear the masks not for ourselves. We wear them for others. We don't gather, even in this empty worship hall, we're worshiping in our homes rather than here, because we want to protect one another, especially the elderly, especially those that have physical troubles. And it is love that motivates that response. Christians should obey the law. Christians should heed the guidance of our society. Now, of course, everybody should. But speaking to you who are a believer, I would say you are doing this as a response to the grace of God in your life. Because Jesus has said, you must be a person of love. If you want to please me, be a person of love. And love is expressed in protecting others, in trying to keep them from becoming sick. It can be very annoying. We wish that we didn't have to be separate. We wish that we were free to go and shop and work and do all the things that we always have done. But the call of God is to obey. The other part of that, and I would like to share this with you, the reason for us, another reason for us to seek to be obedient and exhibit social responsibility in this time of pandemic, is that it is a part of our witness. If the church and Christian people demonstrate indifference to others, refuse to abide by the law and the guidance to protect others, then the message that goes out is that the church does not care about vulnerable people. And if they believe, if the word goes out that the church doesn't care, the message also is that God himself doesn't care. We are saying something to our society about our God and how we respond in this time of pandemic. Conversely, if we are people and a community that seeks the protection of others, that puts itself out so that others can be safe, then that message also goes out that the church cares and the God whom we represent also cares for them. So, my friends, it is incumbent on us to be people who show great social responsibility in this time of COVID-19. We need to do it for the sake of those who are vulnerable, that we might show love to them. We need to do it for the sake of the reputation and good name of the Church of Jesus Christ in our society. We need to do it for the name of God, so that God is not besmirched by the inappropriate actions of his people. We are truly blessed to be called the children of God. It is a privilege for us to be people of faith. Now, let's live that life of faith, showing appropriate response to the call to protect. May God keep you safe, and may you also give glory to God. Amen.